Father, you are. Father, you are holy. There is no one else like you. Him because he's worthy this morning. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We praise your name.
Praise your name. Hallelujah.
We sing hallelujah.
Bless.
Oh, hallelujah. Feel blessed this morning. I want you to give him a praise right now. Just take a minute and just begin to thank the Lord for what's happened and what's coming. Because we know that God is not a God who doesn't stop. He keeps going. He keeps giving. He keeps blessing. So let's just believe together this is going to be the year of the Lord's favor. Hallelujah, the Lord's favor. Oh, just like this.
That my house is blessed. My family is blessed. My health is blessed. And my wealth is blessed. My church
is blessed.
Is blessed.
And my city.
My city is blessed. My nation is blessed, for my God
is blessed.
My house is blessed. My family is blessed.
Oh, my
health is blessed.
And my wealth
is blessed. My church is blessed. And my city
is blessed today. Come on.
My nation.
And my health is blessed. Best year ever. Come on.
My wealth is blessed. My church is blessed. And my city is
so blessed.
My nation is blessed. For my God.
Oh, somebody declare it.
You shout to the Lord.
compares to him today. We sing, my Jesus, say,
my Jesus, my Savior, God, there is none like you.
All of my days,
I want to praise the one who's everlasting.
Oh, my comfort and shelter, we sing.
My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength.
Come on, let every breath, oh, to a worthy God. We have. Hallelujah. Jesus. As we were worshiping, I noticed Andy. If you don't ever see him, you can hear him for sure. But I was noticing him there. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Lifting his hands. I noticed that when someone's been through a lot, they praise a lot. I noticed that when you've been through something that may take your life, and you come back better, you praise a lot. Just a few months ago, his chest was open and he had open heart surgery. And today, he's up here lifting his hands, praising God because of the promises that God has put in his life. And there are many, many promises in this building today. Some have come to pass and some aren't here yet. But the operative word is yet. Because when God gives you a promise, they are yes and amen. They're coming, church. But what we need to do sometimes in church, sometimes in these moments with the Lord, is we need to ignore the darkness. We need to ignore the part of this world that's trying to tell us that it's not going to happen. We need to ignore the voices in our mind, the voices that attack us saying, you're not going to get it. You're not going to get free. This is going to be just like every other year of your life or month of your life. What you struggled with before, you're going to struggle with today, but it's just not true. It doesn't have to be true. And that's one of the great things about worship, is because we're saying to all of those voices and all those things, my God's bigger. That's why people who go through stuff, oftentimes people who are in the middle of it are worshiping the most, because they know that's their key out of it. And today, if you've been through it, are through it, or about to go through it, I encourage you, let's declare that Jesus makes the darkness tremble and it makes it run and flee. And we believe what God is going to do here. So come on, let's praise Him in this place. Let's give Him glory in this place. Let's lift Him up. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Oh, yes. We worship a God who makes every evil thing run and flee. Let's praise Him together.
Surrounding me, let it rain at your name. Still, call the sea to still, the rage in me to still, every wave. Oh, at your name. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus. Again, oh, I will praise. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus,
oh, he silences fear.
Silence fear.
Oh, Jesus, Jesus,
you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus.
Oh.
Pray to that name this morning together. Is it okay if we just gather two or three and believe? I just want us for a minute to pray and ask God to move in this place. That song we just sang, it says it makes the darkness tremble. There There is nothing impossible with Jesus. Nothing. And we sang today about our house is blessed, our finances are blessed, every different thing. Now let's just raise our hands and let's pray as a church family. And I just want you to agree with me. Maybe you need to say it out loud what you're praying for, but I'm believing in 2018 for miracles. Let's just pray together. Let me hear you pray. Let's call out that name, Jesus, Jesus. God, we just want to take a moment in this service to celebrate you, to pray to you. And we pray in the name of Jesus that you just bless this service. I pray, Lord, from the person over on this side through the balcony, through this section, that you will move. I pray, Lord, that relationships will be restored. I pray that finances will be blessed. I pray bodies will be healed. I pray peace in minds and hope. I pray, Lord, whatever their need is, that today you interrupt this service and begin just moving through the aisles. Holy Spirit, we want to thank you. We want to take a moment and just thank you. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done, but thank you what you're going to do. I just want to thank you for the prayers that our people have prayed this week, and you're going to meet them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Will you tell about two people? God is going to do something today. And you may be seated. We're so glad that you're here. Charleston Church, will you let the visitors know that we're glad they're in the house today? A little louder. We're glad that you are here today. If you're visiting with us, I got to meet a gentleman before service. This was his second week, and he loves it because you know why? This is a great church. Amen? So if you're visiting, if you would take the contact card in the seat ahead of you, fill that out, and when the offering comes, just put it in the offering. Everybody needs a good church. Everybody needs a good church. And then when you leave today, if you'll stop at the Welcome Center, we have a gift for you. And how many like gifts? Oh, yes, we do. So we're just glad that you are here. How many have been, maybe you've been reading John with us, or you've been doing the fast this week with us? How many have been a part of that this week? Will you just raise your hand? If you haven't, just raise your hand and say, I'm going to next week. It has been incredible. You've been watching the Facebook Lives? I mean, Heather, woo! I mean, like, she preached. You don't usually hear her. We hide her a little over there, but wow, we just have a great staff, and we know that you've been enjoying those, and we're going to continue with that. If you have not fasted, and if you want to be a part, start it today. Just maybe a meal, maybe all through the day, and then supper, or liquids, or Daniel, whatever you want to do. There's all kinds of fasts, but it will bless you. It will bless you? Yes, it won't kill you. Maybe for a couple days, but maybe a little flesh, that's what it will do. Ushers, if you come down, we're gonna get ready to receive the offering. I did just want to tell you a couple other things that are coming up. February 4th is our vision meeting, and that's after our morning service. We go out and have a meal together, and then we come back in and we have our vision meeting, which we're going to look at 2017 and how God blessed us. And blessed in so many different areas. And then we're going to just believe for the next year. And he's going to give you a little vision of what we're doing. If you're not a member, I want to tell you, become a member. There's just something about being a part of this church, but there's also something about being a member of this church. There are benefits to being a member, right? No? Yes, there are benefits. I was thinking how that a few years ago we wanted to build the Epic Center, and we voted on that, and that started, you know, they started building that. That's a benefit that I had, I can say, quite a few years down the road to my grandchildren, I remember the meeting that we talked about that, like 10 or 15, but or 3 or 4, whatever. Hurry up, but whatever. I'm going to be able to, I'm just kidding. I'm going to be able to tell them I was a part of voting on that and seeing God do it and use it. Amen? Amen. How many here know that God blesses our finances? He does. Now, some people don't like to listen about finances, so it's okay if you don't want to, just turn your hearing aid down or plug your ears. But I believe in tithing. Do you know why? Because the Word says it. Let me read what it says. It says, bring all the tithe into the storehouse, so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven, I will open the windows of heaven for you, and I will pour out a blessing that you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. I am telling you, my finances are blessed because I tithe. Now, I know a lot of you tithe. I don't know who you are, but I know you tithe. How many will say your finances are blessed because you tithe? Amen. That doesn't mean I can go in and get a new car every week. If I don't have the money for it, I shouldn't be doing it. But I am telling you, my finances are blessed because I tithe and give offering. I believe that. Amen. I know that you believe that too. So if you maybe have never tithed, I just want to encourage you to try it out in 2018, because the Bible says, test me. And there will be blessings on you. So, Charleston, will you just, as you get your offering ready, I just want to pray a blessing over your finances. Is that okay today? Yes, it is. I know that you want to be blessed financially. God, we thank you that you do bless our finances. And I pray, Lord, that there are many different situations in this room. Some people here are maybe looking for a different job. And I pray, Lord, that you open that up. I pray, Lord, that there will be doors that they'll walk through that only you could open. I pray, God, that you bless our finances. Bless everything that we're going to do in Charleston Church this year with the finances. I pray, Lord, that we'll do greater things than we have ever been able to do this year. I thank you that our tithes and offerings are blessed. Lord, you care about every detail of our life, and Lord, you care about our finances. I pray, God, if there's someone struggling in their finances today, that you will come in and help them. I pray, Lord, we have been there, and you've turned it around. And I pray, Lord, that you turn it around in some different people's lives today. We thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. And here's a testimony about somebody's finances.
I've been working at Eastern Maine Medical Center for 25 years, 15 years of that. I've been working in the housekeeping department. Years ago, Sandy and I made a decision to, she was going to stay home and take care of the kids. And, you know, God's provided for our needs. And each year it got a little bit more difficult financially. All the overtime that they would give me, I would take. And so even though I enjoyed my job, I started looking other places in the hospital that might pay better. For whatever reason, I would get passed up regularly for everything that I put in for. But I was praying and trying to stay faithful. Started getting a lot of overtime when the new expansion for the hospital started opening up. My boss took notice of the fact that I was working a lot of third shift. He wanted me to take the lead on opening our new expansion, our new pavilion building. And I jumped at it. It was a lot of overtime. I needed the extra money. Behind the scenes, the hospital had hired a consulting firm. One of the recommendations was they saw a need for a third shift supervisor in the projects department. And doing my work for 15 years, my boss approached me and he asked me what I thought of it, told me that it would be a good opportunity for me. So I told him I'd pray about it and talk to Sandy, and applied for the job. And after a couple months, opening up our main lobby, had some interviews and was hired for the position. Now, just thank God for keeping me where I was, not that so I wouldn't get complacent and just move on no matter what. Just prayed about it and was faithful, and God really trained me up and got me this position. Just thanking Him for it.
There.
Let's stand together, if you would, please, and open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, if you would. If you don't have a Bible with you, look on with your neighbor. If your neighbor doesn't have a Bible, look up on the screen. And it's a beautiful day. Amen? They must have been selling the balcony seats for a little less money than the floor seats. The balcony's packed. That's awesome. Yeah. They favor my face from the balcony a little better than you pay the price being on the main floor. The book of Hebrews, chapter 7. Just get right to the word this morning, if that's be all right with you. Glad that you slid in today. Glad you didn't slide into the building, but I'm glad you slid in. Reminded this morning, one time I went to Oriental Jade with Bryce Philbrick. It was a little missions trip. And he slid right into the building. I mean, like he drove into Oriental Jade. He thought it was drive-through service or something. He's loving this. And so we went in. You know, he's kind of embarrassed. And I'd stayed about 10 feet away from him. And I'll tell you how they treated us. They gave us the best seat in the house, and they gave us both our meals free. So that's service right there. I wouldn't try it if I were you. I wouldn't try that if I was you. Isn't that crazy? You drove into their building, and in return, they gave us free food. It might have come off somebody else's table. I'm not sure, but we beat you. You think you win. You eat leftovers. All right. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 7 says, "And without question, the person who has the power to give a blessing is greater than the one who's blessed." Let's read that again. "And without question, the person who has the power to give a blessing is greater than the one who is blessed." Let's read it together. "And without question, the person who has the power to give a blessing is greater than the one who is blessed." I'm going to tell you today, God's the greater one today. God's the great. Lord, let your anointing help us, your spirit instruct us. Help me to communicate clearly and accurately. And may God, something happen inside of us that we can say we're different because we went to church today. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. Thank you for reading. Thank you for your worship. And tonight we'll be back at 5 o'clock. Great time for us to gather. And I'll be talking about the whip of heaven. I actually have a whip, and I've been practicing cracking the whip. And I've got marks all over my body to prove it. I never knew it was so dangerous, but fortunately I have glasses on. I still have my eyes. But you want to come back tonight because I'm going to crack the whip. I'm going to crack the whip, and we're going to pray. All right. The Bible, I say that, I know who, when you respond, I know who you are. Galatians chapter 3, verse 29 says this. "Now that you belong to Christ," stop. Now that you belong to Christ. Now that you belong to Christ. The moment that you understand that mankind, when they're born, is spiritually dead, you know that you need help. When I say spiritually dead, in other terms, when you're born, because of the sin of Adam, you're born separated from God by relationship. God's one of representation. When Adam was on the earth, in God's mind, Adam represented everybody on the planet. That's just how God works. Representation. And when Adam sinned and separated from God, God said, "Okay, I see all of humanity separated from me." Because he works by representation, and he loves humanity and loves you and loves me and loves everybody watching online, he had to send somebody greater than Adam to represent God and to represent us. And so he had nobody greater than Adam. He sent and came himself. And God became man and died on the cross a brutal death. Why so brutal? Because sin has to be punished. Sin must be punished. We say, look at the injustices. Why won't they? They'll be people who have done injustice will be punished, either in earth or in hell. There is justice. The scales of justice will be taken care of. And while Jesus died on the cross and all the beating he took, he took saying, "If you will bring me into your life, this beating that I'm getting, you deserve.
But if you'll accept what I'm doing in your place, you won't get the beating, you'll get the blessing. Today, if you've never done that, before the service is over, I'm as serious as can be to tell you that you have an opportunity, the privilege, and the moment given to you to admit that you're born a sinner like all of humanity. Believe that what Jesus did on the cross was enough, and to confess that you now belong to Christ. Is there anybody here that belongs to Christ today and you're not ashamed of it? Amen? Let's move on. You are true children of Abraham. So what he's saying is, there's something in Abraham's lineage that you get to be a part of because you belong to Christ. Look what it says. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. Do you realize that if you have prayed that prayer, there is an inheritance that the Bible says you can experience? Now, I want what that is. I'm not saying that you become a part of his bloodline. I'm not saying if you get saved, you're partly Jewish. There's nothing wrong with that. We're not talking about natural bloodline. We're talking about spiritual bloodline. If you go to Hebrews chapter 6, you'll see, and I've got some scripture, but it's, you know, we're like building this church on it, so we should read it. Then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. The writer is speaking to people that are not foreign to faith, but because of bad teaching, they've become spiritually lazy, incapacitated, and they're backsliding. Instead, the writer says, you will follow the example of those who are going to inherit God's promises because of their faith and endurance. So God, in the scripture, gives us biblical, real-life examples to know how to live, to know how that God works. Verse 13 says this, for example, there was God's promise to Abraham. Okay, so now we have a living person whom we can look at and will help us understand how God works. Because that's why we come to church. We come to church to get a greater understanding, to know, how does this God that I serve work? Okay? Since there was no one greater to swear by, God took an oath in his own name, saying, verse 14, I'll explain it in just a minute, I will certainly bless you and multiply your descendants beyond number. And Abraham waited patiently, and he received what God had promised. Verse 16. Now when people take an oath, they call on someone greater than themselves to hold them to it. And without any question, that oath is binding. Stop. You know, if you go buy a vehicle, it is easier to have your gallbladder removed. Well, I shouldn't say it's easier. It's quicker. You can get your gallbladder removed quicker than you can buy a 1995 Ford F-150. A lot of paperwork. You're going to sign paperwork that says that you're going to sign the paperwork. And then you're going to sign the paperwork. And then you're going to sign the paperwork that says you signed the paperwork. And if there's any paperwork you didn't sign, you meant to sign it, and you might as well have signed it. And what's your shoe size? A lot is on the line when you sign a contract. And this is what happened. God finds Abraham. And God says to Abraham, I'm going to give you the blessing. And I'll interpret the blessing in a minute. I'm going to give you the blessing. And to make sure that you're convinced that the blessing is good, I'm going to find somebody else to come into this agreement to witness this oath. And I'm going to find somebody bigger than you. And I'm going to find somebody bigger than me to be witness, to swear to, that I'll be good on my end of the oath. And God looks around and he says, I don't see anybody bigger than me. So I'll swear to this oath myself. In other words, God makes a covenant agreement with Abraham because Abraham has faith. And God says, I will make sure that on my end of this agreement is taken care of. And I'll place my reputation on it. I'll stake my very existence and my reputation on me doing what I promised on my end. Now it's up to you to do what you promise on your end. Are you good with that? So, what was the thing that Abraham got? The blessing, in short, was the presence of God in every area of his life. The blessing of Abraham, which the Bible says if we have Christ in our heart, we get to be a part of that blessing, is the faithful and fruitful presence of God. Say that with me. The faithful and fruitful presence of God. One more time. The faithful and fruitful presence of God. I would also call it the dependable and demonstrative presence of God. Is there anybody here today who says, I think my year would be better if I had the faithful, fruitful presence of God in every area of my life? That's the promise you have. If you're on the stormy sea, you have the presence of God. If you're laying on the beach getting a tan, or you're in the parking lot getting windburn, you have the presence of God. If it's July and it's summer, you have the presence of God. And if it's January and it's winter, you have the presence of God. What I'm trying to tell you is, no matter the season you're in, I'm not giving up one season to the present, to my situation. I'm saying, if the presence of God is for me in every season of life, I want to be dependent upon that presence in every season of my life. Verse 17. Stay with me. God also bound himself with an oath so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. How many are glad that God's not moody concerning his promises? He does have moods, but concerning his promises, he's not shifty. Okay, people are shifty, but God's not. Verse 18. So God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it's impossible for God to lie. Now, I don't want you to get lost. Some of you know this very well. For some, it's new, and I'm glad that you're here. A church without new people is boring. A church without new people is not a praying church. And I'll prove that tonight. So I just want to just kind of bring it to the terms that I understand, is to say that God has made a commitment through his son, Jesus Christ, to let his presence be in your life in every season of life, and he don't plan on changing it. So if it doesn't happen, it's not because he changed. Okay? Let's be adults about this. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. Verse 19, this is a beautiful scripture. This hope is a strong, trustworthy anchor for our souls, and it leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Let me explain that. In the Old Testament, in the days of the Old Testament, they had church. It was called the temple, and it was made of three rooms. It was the outer court, the inner court, the most holy place. You could say the carport, the foyer, the auditorium. So there are three rooms in the temple. In the most holy place was where the ark was, and it is where the greatest evidence of the presence of God is found. It's like all these things in the first two rooms were guiding you to the God who was active in that other place. Now, in the Old Testament, only certain people could go and get a one-on-one with God, and they could only go very rarely. To remind people, they hung a huge, if you would, curtain between the most holy place and the holy place. To remind people, you're about to go somewhere, and if you're not right with God, you will die. It was basically church caution tape. Do not cross this line or you will be zapped. You'll be a human bug on God's human zapper. This is for real, the blue, done. That's why they would put bells on the bottom of the uniform of the priest. And if the bell kept ringing, they knew they were alive. If the bell stopped ringing, they knew they were dead. Which leads me to tell you that the priests were the first ones to wear bell bottoms. So you 70s folks, that's why you had such a great outpouring in the 70s. What the writer is saying is because of your connection to Jesus Christ, you have a tremendous, unshakable hope because you have connected to somebody who doesn't change. You've connected to somebody who doesn't alter his promises. You've connected to somebody that is, there's nobody greater than God. You have, like a ship on a stormy sea who throws its anchor over the board because it knows that the ship is not bigger than the storm, attaches to the ocean bottom, because as big as the storm is, it's not stronger than the floor that it operates on. In other words, because God is greater, and I put my faith in Jesus Christ, not wishful thinking, not hopeful, not I have faith in Jesus, I have reached beyond anything that is going on in life, and I've attached myself to something that is not voted on, that is not trendy, but is something that is eternal. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the greater one. If you're here today and your life is anchored on anything other than Jesus, get ready for the roller coaster, because you'll go up and down and up and down. But I found a source that is unshakable, unmovable. He is the great I am. He was never created. He is the creator. He is God Almighty. The death grave couldn't keep him down. He is here. He is strong. The sun obeys his voice. The moon responds to his command. Without him, the birds can't fly. Without him, the fish can't swim. Without him, the universe cannot function. I'm telling you, that is your God. I'm just bragging on him today. You're not that strong. If you feel strong, you've met something. You've never met anything bigger than you. But the moment you meet something bigger than you, you long for something that's bigger than you. God is bigger than any temptation. When you fast and pray, you begin to realize God is bigger than any passion. God is bigger than any sickness. Come on, somebody. God is bigger than any worry. God is bigger than your... Oh, I'm just going to brag on him until you come out of that religious stupor. God is bigger than your past. He's bigger than your reputation. He's bigger than your anger. He's bigger than your trouble. He's bigger than your boss. He's bigger than the president. He's bigger than the continent. He's bigger than the globe. What do you have to face? God's still bigger than that. Why people don't want to be connected to something that cannot be changed, I'll never know. But anybody here today glad that you're connected to it, to something that will never shake? Give the Lord a hand clap of praise and let him know it's not a secret. Praise God. Praise God. But Hebrews chapter 6 verse 20 continues on this story. Jesus has already gone there. So when Jesus died on the cross, he was buried, he rose again, and entered into heaven, and is there overseeing the people of God. Okay? Look at this. Now, he has become our eternal high priest. I got to move. In the order of Melchizedek. Chapter 7, verse 1. Melchizedek was the king of the city of Salem and also the priest of God Most High. Remember, stop right there. This was before Aaron, the Levites, before Exodus. God had found a guy named Melchizedek and made him an earthly priest, a representation of God. A person that would go to God for the people and a person that would go to the people for God. In the Bible, that's called a priest. A priest is somebody who goes to God for the people and is somebody that goes to the people for God. When Abraham was returning home after winning a great battle against the kings, Melchizedek met him and blessed him. Stop right there. Let's talk about that story. Abraham had a nephew named Lot. Abraham lived in this area over here and Lot lived in Sodom. Lot was very successful, so was Abraham. There was in those days what we would liken a world war. An alliance of five kings and their militaries went to war with an alliance of four kings and their militaries. The alliance of four kings won the world war against the alliance of five kings, and in doing so, took Lot, his family, and all of his possessions, and all of the riches of Sodom as spoil to be owned by the four kings alliance. Abraham would never have gotten involved in that fight if it wasn't for his nephew being involved. It's funny, there was a world war, but Abraham was never touched by it. Just giving you Bible. Abraham hears that his nephew and his family and all his stuff has been stolen, and Abraham says, "That ain't right. You just invite, I never had a dog in that fight, but you just came to the doghouse and you took a dog. And the Bible says that Abraham took his private army. This is really a great, great story. If I was you, I would do 45 minutes a day less on Facebook and 45 minutes a day a lot more in the Bible. And Abraham has this private military. He's contracted his own warriors. He's basically got the Charleston Church security team on his private payroll. And when you're as rich as Abraham is, you need a security team. But these guys are not just working at the hospital, no offense. But these guys are highly trained killers. And Abraham takes his little military and goes to the Alliance of Four Kings and kicks their tail. He kicks their tail so bad, they're crying uncle. He takes Lot, Lot's family, Lot's goods, and all the stuff they stole. He says, I'll take that. Get Abraham off the flannel board. He was one bad mamma jamma, is what I'm trying to say. He was a real deal, man. He was the real deal. He was no sissy. When he takes all that back, he takes good count of everything that he has earned. And when he does, he comes to Melchizedek, the priest on the earth, and Melchizedek met him and blessed him. Verse 2, or whatever the next verse is. Then Abraham took a tenth of all that was captured in that battle, and he gave it to Melchizedek. Means king of justice, king of Salem, means king of peace. Look what he said. He took one-tenth of all that he captured. I've studied the Hebrew. It never does say that he took out his travel expenses first. He took one-tenth of everything that he got, and he gave it all. Why? Next verse, watch. There's no record of his father or mother. Basically, it's saying that Melchizedek was not chosen by a committee, and it wasn't membership voting on him. It was God that appointed him. There's no beginning or end. He remains a priest forever, resembling the Son of God. Verse 4. Consider how great this Melchizedek was. Even Abraham, the great patriarch of Israel, recognized this by giving him a tenth of what he had taken in battle. Abraham takes tally of all that he has earned and finds 10% of it and gives it to Melchizedek because he knows Melchizedek is greater than him. Okay? You all right there? I'm just giving you the word. Verse 5. Now when the law of Moses required the priests who are descendants of the Levi must collect a tithe from the rest of the people of Israel who are also descendants of Abraham. So, let me talk to you about tithe. I love being a part of a church that doesn't say, you know, you can only preach parts of the Bible and not the other parts. I know it's getting tight because I said money, but I'm all right. I've been preaching to tight people since I started preaching. So I'm actually not comfortable if somebody's not uptight. So thank you for being my friend. Thank you for being... All right. A tithe is one dime out of every dollar belongs to God. Now, the more you get into spiritual things, the more God brings light to you. But let me just say this. Tithe is God's property. It's not God's law. And so that just, so if you're thinking you want to argue tithe with me, that you just lost. I mean, you can be wrong, but there's no benefit to it. Is that arrogant? No. What kind of? Abel tithed. Abraham tithed. Jacob tithed. Levi tithed. Jesus addressed tithing amongst the Pharisees, and he never said, stop it. He said, tithe and take care of the widows. Apostle Paul said, when you gather every week and you take up your weekly offering. So there is no place in the scripture that says the offering and the tithe stops. Then what does the tithe mean? What does one dime out of every dollar mean? The tithe, $1 out of every 10, is a visual and a act of obedience that when I come to God on a weekly basis, I say, I acknowledge, God, that you are bigger than me. You are bigger than my circumstances. You are bigger than everything I face. And to prove, because how many know, we need a little less talk and a little more action. We need a few less posts and a little more action. Elvis had it right. And when Abraham tithed. He gives to us the concept that you don't give to a God that's smaller than you. You give because you believe that God is bigger than you and He will not change. Let me keep going. Watch this. Verse 6. There's so much to talk about. Melchizedek, who was not a descendant of Levi, collected a tenth from Abraham. And Melchizedek placed a blessing upon Abraham. Wait a minute, watch. Hey, Vinny, you want to be Abraham? Praise God. Well, may you have many more kids. Stop. You know, Abraham is already blessed. He took his A-team. Come on, does anybody watch TV around here anymore? Thank God for Netflix. He takes his A-team with Mr. T and Baracus and the crazy guys. He takes his van, and he takes the A-team, and he goes in and he kills the alliance of four kings, and he takes all their spoils. How many know he's probably pretty blessed? But the Bible says that he's blessed, and then when he gives a tithe, the Bible says, and then Melchizedek placed a blessing on him. I'm blessed because I serve Jesus. But the Bible goes on to say that when I give him what belongs to him, then it says there's another blessing that comes on me that says he's in a covenant with me, and the first of everything in my life opens the door for the best of everything that God can do. I mean, keep going. There's so much okay, let's keep moving. And without question, the person who has the power to give a blessing is greater than the one who's blessed. Why do I tithe? My wife and I have been, I tithe before we got, I wouldn't date somebody that doesn't tithe. I'd dump them like a hot rock. Or if you're fasting, like a hot pocket. That'll kill you anyways. You ought not eat that stuff, but anyways. Hot pocket. I got that from the students this week. Now people, okay, because, you know, I could really upset some people with this, because it's the heart of the issue. It's the heart of Abraham. We see the heart of Abraham. The heart of Abraham is, I'm not giving one-tenth because, you know, somebody demanded and pressured me and said, you know, if you do it now, you'll get $1,000 back in 15 seconds. Not some weird television pressure. Weird. No, that's Abraham. Look, I'm just telling you, Abraham didn't need to be taught because he got a vision of how big God was. And when I realize that I wouldn't be, and when you realize, how many realize you wouldn't be here if it hadn't been for the Lord already? He'd been there when nobody else was. He helped you when you weren't doing the right thing. And if God had been good all that time, and here you are facing Him, and you've got an opportunity to say, you know what, God, I'm going to give you back the property that belongs to you. Then guess what happens? God says, you know what? You're already blessed. You're already going to heaven. But because you know how to obey and operate, and it's not just tithing, but in one area that we're talking about, because you've made me first in your finances, the blessing is coming down on you. Verse 8, I got to move on. And the priests who collect tithes are men who die. So people say, well, you know, in the Old Testament, they tithed to priest, but that ended. Well, those priests died. They were like mortal men. How much more does our immortal priest deserve tithe? So Melchizedek is greater than they are because we're told that he lives on. So Jesus came into the earth, and I'm finishing. Jesus came into the earth. Come here, Alex, if you would. Jesus came into the earth, and he had to come through a priesthood. He had to come through an order. Here's the order of Melchizedek, and here's the order of Aaron, or the Levitical priesthood. Jesus, if he would have come through the order of Aaron, the tribe, the Levites, then his ministry would have ended when they died, or when he died. But Jesus didn't come in their order. He came after the order of Melchizedek to show that Jesus is not priest because somebody voted him in or because of natural bloodline. He's priest because God appointed him. And if natural priest deserves a tithe, who is not greater than the people, how much more does our heavenly priest deserve because he's greater? He's our great high priest. He's better than Joe Bornstein. He's representing you in heaven. Verse 9. This gets better. In addition, we might even say that those Levites, the ones who collect the tithe, paid tithe to Melchizedek when the ancestor Abraham paid a tithe to him. This is going to get crazy in a minute. Verse 10, I'm done. For although Levi wasn't born yet, not that Levi, the Bible Levi, wasn't born yet, but he loves it because he feels like he's being preached right at. But anyways, although Levi wasn't born yet, the seed from which he came was in Abraham's body. And if you don't understand that, ask Keith Dunphy. He can explain that later. And when Melchizedek collected the tithe from him. Okay, watch this. Watch this. I want you to see the power of putting God first, not just in your finances, but just putting God first. Okay? Come here. You're Abraham. You're Isaac. Dennis? Right there. You're Jacob. Paul? Can I help? And you're Levi. You're not wearing them, but you're still Levi. All right, good. Good. You're good right there. The Bible says, now I want this back. I'll get somebody else if you're not sure. All right. Hey. There's only two things I want out of this. My Cabela's card. And my pass to shoot at the range over there and hold him. Okay. That's all I want. Because I'm clinging to my God and my guns. Not that Cabela's is my God, but that's where I get my guns. Because you never know how a sermon's going to go, so I'm going to keep it. And the Bible, hold that wallet up high. Hold that wallet up high. And the Bible says, this is the power of the tithe. The Bible says, according to God, because Abraham gave, there was a blessing handed down to Isaac. Keep that up there, because I want to see it. That's I'm getting nervous in the service. And you find that Isaac was blessed. You know what's interesting is that Isaac wasn't born till after Abraham gave his tithe. Some promises are waiting on your obedience. It ain't all connected to money. I'm not saying give $100 and get a new car. I'm just saying be obedient in what God says to do. And when you obey what God says to do, it opens the windows of heaven and He can pour out a blessing that you cannot contain. I'm going to obey God the rest of my life. So are you. Isaac was blessed. Then he passed that on down to Jacob. And Jacob, keep your hand up there. Hey, Jacob was blessed. I don't trust bald men. And Jacob was and Jacob was blessed. The Bible says that when Jacob had that encounter with God at Bethel, he said, God, I'll give you the first dollar out of every 10 I ever make. And the Bible says then he passed that on to his son, Levi. Hold that up. Yeah. The man in black, don't ever trust him. Ladies and gentlemen, Abraham had no idea the blessing that would take place when he made that simple act of obedience. It wasn't just about a checking account. It was making a statement to Isaac. Even when you're in a time of famine, God is bigger than famine. It was a statement to Jacob. Even when your family's in trouble, God is bigger than your family. Even in a time of national trouble, Levi, God is bigger than national trouble. And if I want my great-grandkids to know one thing, I want them to know this, their God is bigger. If I want my grandchildren to know this, I want them to know my God is bigger. Whether we like who's in the White House or not, whether we like what's going on in the world or not, He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords, and He will not change. You fall, men fail, but God never does. He's the champion. He's the greatest of all time. Sorry, I got excited. I haven't let dead people kill my joy yet. Hallelujah. You shout at the game and you go into a mummy at church. You don't realize He's bigger than the Super Bowl. Hallelujah. He's bigger than the World Series because they can't heal you, but Jesus can. My dad has been a tither all his life. I've been a tither all my life. My wife's been a tither all her life. And I don't have an ounce of fear for my kids, my grandkids. I'm just worried what they'll do with the inheritance. And I ain't just talking about cash. I'm talking about the love and the unity and the joy. If you're a young person and you're backsliding, you have no idea what you're forfeiting. If you're an adult and you're spiritually lazy, you have no idea what you're missing. But if you're here and you're obedient, you have no need to fear. Because we've got a greater God. See, here's the issue. Stay here, guys. Come on, musicians. I hope this is encouraging you. Because I know there's a lot of weird stuff on social media. And it's so wrong. And some people's argument against this just reveals their greed. It just does. Look, there's Ben over there. Stand up, Ben. I love that guy. You know, I heard a hymn one time that said, if your father doesn't have a beard, you have two mothers. I also heard somebody say the other day, if you see two men, one's got a beard, one doesn't, you know who the leader is. I want to tell you about Ben Dunkel. Now you say, well, you know, you're visiting, and you say, well, that's what I heard. It was all, keep your money. Nobody's been pressured to give a dime around here. This place is blessed because it's not connected to cheapskates. It's not connected to people with cirrhosis of the giver. It's connected to God himself. Hallelujah. Can you feel the spirit of fear all over me today? Ben told me, it's not on that video, but Ben told me, before that interview, before that, he says, God's really been dealing with me and Sandy. And we're going to start putting God first in every area of our lives. And it's not been easy, but we're going to take a step of faith and we're going to put the first dollar of every 10 into God. And he came to me just weeks after and said, remember what I told you, Pastor? God has responded to that. And that boy worked 15 years being overlooked. Do you hear what I'm telling you? 15 years being overlooked. And he deserved a whole lot better before he got it. But look, God has promoted him and blessed him. And I tell you, there isn't a finer person in all of Eastern Maine Medical Center than Ben Dunker right there. And I like his beard. I think we ought to let him know we're proud of him.
Yeah.
Now, you got a choice. You got a choice. Yeah, play something. Play something, Heather, if you would. Because I know when I preach a lot of scripture, it gets religious people mad, and then I start wanting to fight. And that's not right. That's not what this place is for. I'm not here to fight. All the time. Some people, they say, it's just a dime. It's just a dime. It's just a dollar. And they just, what's the matter? I'll just do what I want. It doesn't matter. What if you did that with your Bible? Now, I didn't hear anybody gasp on that dollar. And some of you are going to hate me for 3 months for throwing that Bible. But recognize this. This ain't a Bible. It's a notebook. And I would never throw a Bible. But I just tricked you. I just tricked you. Some of you emotionally are not going to get over that till 3:30 this afternoon. Like, you're going to meet me out back. It's too slippery to fight. Don't even bother. Oh, God. I'm going to tell you, to me, that word is so precious because I'm building my life on it. And to God, that 10% is precious. Because it's God saying, it's not about the money. It's about you recognizing I'm bigger. And that you put your faith not in what you can do with a dollar out of 10, but you put your faith in what I can do with your dollar out of 10. And God says, you know, there's so many things about tithing. I was thinking today, you know, tithing is so smart because it makes you, forces you to start a budget. How do you tithe? You got to count your money. So to be an accurate biblical tither, you got to sit down and you got to track your money. Tithing is not just some gimmick or trick. Tithing is a covenant relationship with God, but you got to keep your own budget. And so starting next Sunday, Greg and Denise, stand. Greg and Denise, stand, would you please? I love Greg and Denise. They're just nice people. And they live in Charleston. I like that too. But they teach a great family class. And starting next Sunday, they'll be teaching family finances. I don't preach about this enough on this pulpit. And I don't make it available to you that you get training in this enough. And that's my own fault. But starting next Sunday, for, was it 5 weeks? 6 weeks? Weeks, probably 6 weeks. They're going to help you with God's help and some real good teaching to set down your financial house in order so that you can do that. Thank you, Greg and Denise. You know what I like about tithing? Every weekly, I'm reminded I don't have to do this on my own. God is able to take. God is in this. It's not my reputation on the line. It's God's reputation. I said, it's not your reputation. How many are glad that God knows how to take care of His people? And the Holy Spirit spoke to me today in worship, because I wondered how to end this service. And the Holy Spirit said to me, at the end of the service, the first thing that God wants to do today is break. And I need everybody looking this way. I've been amazed preaching on money today. There's been less activity in the service than I think I remember in a long time, because I know that you want to do this right, and I know you want to get what God wants you to get. So let me just say this. Before we leave this service, there is so much fear and worry and anxiety in people's hearts and minds because they're obsessed with money, bills, and income. Not one time has a spirit of fear ever helped anybody take care of their financial situation. Today, in the name of Jesus Christ, we will destroy the spirit of fear off of every home in this place that says, I make a commitment to do things God's way. Let me be real practical with you today. I know that we went through a real cold patch, and a lot of people just poured tons of money into heating oil and propane and electricity and wood and coal and pellets, however you heat. I'm going to tell you something. You go into that, you begin to say, Lord, in the natural, I don't know how this is going to work out. But all of a sudden, the still small voice of the Holy Spirit will speak to you and say, you know what? You don't have to worry about that. I knew it was going to get cold before the foundation of the earth, and I've already got a plan in store for you. I think somebody ought to thank God that He's always got a plan in store for His people. Thank you, brethren. Just a minute. Now you can go. Yeah, now you can go. Can I pray for you? Lord, I pray for these people today. Lord, there's wonderful people here. God, some of us need a tremendous paradigm shift in the way we think about finances. And there's so much more to be said today, but God, we make you first in our week because you're greater than the rest of the week. We make you first in our hearts because you're the greater than anything in our lives. We make you first in our finances because you're greater than any financial situation that we will ever approach. God, I pray your spirit comes into this place and does something significant in the hearts of the people. God, this is not a finance class. This is not a get-rich-quick scheme. This is a heart relationship. This is covenant promises. This is obedience to what property belongs to you completely. God, I pray. I'm not, Lord, ask. God, this, you know my heart. Lord, let that heart come through to your people. Lord, let them know you're not trying to get something from them. You're trying to get something to them. It's called peace. It's called strength. It's called provision. It's called taking care of the needs. God, today, in the name of Jesus Christ, for every person that allows you to be Lord, I bind the spirit of fear over finances over them in the name of Jesus Christ. Every person on Social Security and retirement, limited income in that season of their life, God, if you can do it for the widow in the city of Nain, you can do it for your people right here in Central Maine. God, I pray for that young person who's just under pressure and making decisions and they're just snowballing against them. I pray that you'll give them clarity. I pray for that parent, the single parent. I pray for grandparents. I pray for business owners. I pray for leaders of industries. I pray for those that are unemployed. I pray, God, for every person in this place to get a revelation that if you'll care for our soul, then you can certainly care for our existence. And we give you praise, and we boldly, before this meeting goes to an end, declare, my God is bigger, in Jesus' name. Everybody that believes that God is bigger than anything you're facing. I dare you to stand to your feet and lift your hands and begin to declare it with your mouth and begin to open your voice and begin to say to God, I believe you're bigger than my challenge. You're bigger than my lack. You're bigger than my confusion. You're bigger than my trouble. You're bigger than my pressure. God, you're bigger than layoffs. You're bigger than cutbacks. You're bigger than setbacks. You're bigger than my past. You're bigger than anything I've been through. Come on, I dare you to give him a bigger praise. I dare you to say, God, you're able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all I could ever ask or think. Come on, begin to thank and glorify him. Watch what will happen. Your faith will increase and your fear will run. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, magnify him. Let's have a praise time. Let's praise him. Magnify him. He's bigger.
You are awesome
and holy. He's worthy of praise. So I lift up my hands and I worship your holy name. Come on, lift him up with me. Magnify him today.
There is no greater honor than giving you praise. Lord, my heart is consumed by your mercy and grace. Lord, I lift up my hands and I worship your holy
name. Come on, young people. Come on, grandparents. Come on, business owners. Come on, unemployed. He's a great big God. He can do anything.
Lift up my hands and I worship your name. You are awesome, holy, worthy of praise. Lord, I lift up my hands and I worship your holy name.
Come on, say it strong. Make it strong in this place.
No greater honor giving you praise. Lord, my heart is consumed by mercy and grace. Lord, I lift up my hands and worship your holy name.
Come on, give him a big praise. Give him a big praise. God, you're greater than anything we face.
Sing, I will.
Come on, do it now. Greatest hand type of praise. Oh, thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for your presence. I'm not taking up an offering. I honestly don't care a thing about you giving money today. And I feel no, I need you to hear what I'm going to tell you. I feel no pressure for the results. Yeah, very few preachers will preach what I'm preaching today for a lot of reasons. And I'm not, so, but you need to understand, this is why when I give, I don't give to Charles, I give to Charleston Church, but I know that Charleston Church is not where I receive the results. The Bible teaches the tithe and the offering goes to the storehouse. That's the local church. So that's why you say, well, you know, I pay my taxes. That's my tithe. Absolutely not. I mean, you can call it that, but you'll have to wait on the government to give you results. And how many know it'd be a cold day in some other place before that ever happens? Well, I give mine to the United Way. I think United Way does some good things. Our Safe Place Food Pantry is the only religious nonprofit that they fund, that they will send support to. But tithing is not given to the United Way or the Red Cross. And I think that there's something you need to understand. People treat it like you're giving to pay a bill. You're not. You're giving. It's not about paying the lights. It's not about putting food on the table. You know, we got a great testimony from Matt Parker. We'll talk about it another time, but about what's going on in Haiti, how we're going to feed those beautiful little orphans all year long. The end of this month, we're going to celebrate the end of this month. We're going to pull the, I haven't told Bud yet, but we're going to pay the Safe Place food pantry truck off this month. We'll own it. And that's beautiful. And that's wonderful. And I can tell you, I don't know of an organization around here that's giving, honestly. I don't know of a nonprofit organization in the area that's giving away as much as you do as a church. So I'll stand up against anybody and say, you know, put your money where your mouth is. Okay? But when you give, I think you, let's change the paradigm of our thinking. The Bible says that we're giving to the greater. How is it? Now some of you really struggle with this scripture, and you obey, but you struggle. The Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. Oh, I'm going to preach now. God loves a cheerful giver. How can I be cheerful giving my money away? A cheerful giver knows who they're giving their money to. A cheerful giver says, they're not giving it to a 501c3. I'm giving it to God. And God keeps good record. And if I'm giving it to God, God will take care of me. Oh, I think you ought to get happy then. That he's a faithful God. He's a faithful God. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season, God has already planned a result. With nobody else moving, nobody else leaving, I know the time, but it would be inappropriate at the greatest degree for me to close this service and not give somebody the opportunity to meet this greater God. Today, money's just a tool. It's just a topic. That's all today's message is a topic, and money's the top. Tithing is the topic. But that's not the issue. The issue is you and God. If you die rich without Jesus, you'll go to hell as quick as somebody who dies on the street, overdosed without Jesus. If you have Jesus, you have the greatest of heaven's wealth. But if you don't have Jesus, you're a walking dead man, a walking dead woman. I'm dead serious about it today. If you die today without Jesus Christ being the Lord over your life, my Bible declares very clearly that you'll spend eternity in a burning hell. But God is not in any way intending for you to get there. God is going to put up as many roadblocks in front of you before you meet the end of your life as possibly. And today, this church and this service is one of those roadblocks. A big detour sign has been set up for you. Don't go to hell. Here, make a decision. Go this way. Make plans for heaven and live the rest of your life in relationship with Jesus Christ. You can look right at me, but if you're here today, you don't remember a time or place that you've asked Jesus Christ to come into your life and to forgive you of the burden of sin and redeem you and put you back in relationship with God. If you don't have a day and time that you can remember, you need a day and time, and this is it. And maybe you've been backslidden. You've been veering from God. Your decisions have taken you far from God, not close to God. It's all right for you to have a public recommitment. If that's you today, just slip your hand up nice and high, real bold. God bless you, sir. Who else? Who else? Who else going to be bold about it today? This is a bold altar call. There's a boldness in this altar call today. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else in this bold altar call? Sir, it'd be my greatest privilege to pray for you. Can I do that today? Come on, let's lift our voices up to this buddy today. Hey. Joe, I love this. Joe, you've been coming to church for a little bit. I've been praying for you. We won't tell the people, everybody can ignore this, but I saw you at a movie I was at the other day. Yeah, Thor, that's right. I was at Thor. And I saw you there, and I've been praying for you ever since. I didn't get to talk to you afterwards. But today's the day that you make the greatest decision of your life, Joe. Isn't that awesome? That's awesome. Joe, the decision that you make today, just like the decision Abraham made by faith, went down generations. You have no idea, neither do I. But the decision you make today just goes generations. Isn't that awesome? You want that, don't you, April? You guys want your families to be that blessing. Just come down all of them. Hallelujah. One greater than Thor comes into your life today. So much greater. So much more real. Can I pray with you? Let's pray together. Let's do it this way. Dear Jesus, I came into this place separated from you. You've been dealing with me. You've been talking to me. And today, I respond. Thank you for being bigger in my life. Thank you for dying on the cross and taking the punishment for my sins. I deserve the beating. You deserve the blessing. But you took the beating so I can have the blessing. Please wash my sins away. I receive a new spiritual heart, and I get to have your presence, your faithful and fruitful, your dependable, and your demonstrating power and faith, presence in my life. I'm a brand new man. I have a brand new future. I'm going to heaven. I'm taking my family there and everyone I know. In Jesus' name, amen. Put it there, buddy. Proud of you, man. Good decision. These guys want to give you a Bible. Bless you, April. Happy for you. Come on, let's do better than that. Let's give God praise. Glory to God. Glory to God. Come on, rejoice. Your neighbor could be next. Your son could be next. Your loved one could be next. We could be your family member. Let's praise him like that. Hallelujah. Come on, sing it.